This is the Ethanol Report. Once again this year, we're going to take a look back at the year in review for ethanol. And with me to do that is the Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO, Bob Dineen. Now, Bob, we started out 2011 on a pretty good note with the approval of E15 by EPA. Why don't you talk a little bit about that, about how 2011 started for the ethanol industry?
Well, without question, we started on a high note. We were filled with anticipation for the E15 market opening up. We spent a good part of the year, though, dotting the I's and crossing the T's and doing the technical work to make sure that E15 is offered to consumers efficiently and effectively. We finished health effects testing. We have finished a misfueling mitigation plan. We have provided EPA with the data that they need to let us go ahead and register E15. And I think we will begin 2012 with actually commercializing E15. So 2011 has been a year in the trenches as we get ready for the commercialization and expanding the marketplace opportunities for ethanol. It's been a lot of work.
Well, another thing that we saw in 2011 was, of course, trying to deal with the federal deficit. And ethanol stepped up to the plate to try and make that happen about mid-year. Tell us about that little saga.
I give the industry a great deal of credit for recognizing that the marketplace has changed, that policies have changed, that their own industry has changed and evolved, and that while the tax incentive that has allowed the industry to grow and to become the tremendous industry that it is today with 400,000 jobs and ethanol being blended in 10% of the nation's fuel, and it would not have happened without the tax incentive. But they recognize that it's a different era, and it is time to move beyond the tax incentive, that we never wanted to be tied to the federal government forever. And getting to this point is a sign of real maturation of the industry, and I'm proud of them for recognizing that we can move forward. I wish some other energy industries would do the same, but there are some folks in the petroleum industry, for example, that seem intent upon hanging on to the subsidies and support that the government provides them, no matter what the changing marketplace or industry realities might be, and I think that that's really unfortunate.
Another real bright spot for ethanol in 2011 has been exports. We've seen a tremendous rise in exports this year. Tell us about that.
The U.S. ethanol industry is exporting more than it ever has. That is a reflection of the growth and evolution of the industry. The U.S. ethanol industry is now the lowest cost renewable energy industry in the world. In fact, the lowest cost transportation fuel in the world, because we are now less expensive than gasoline. As a consequence of that, we have been meeting the demand created for renewable fuels in Europe, in Southeast Asia, in Canada, in Mexico, and even in Brazil. A lot of people have thought for a long time that, well, Brazil, with all their sugar resources, they're the low-cost producer. Well, in fact, that's not the case today, and it hasn't been the case for almost 2 years now. The U.S. is capturing markets all across the globe, and I think that is going to be a reality for the future as well. Our production is just becoming more and more efficient, and I think we're going to be the low-cost producer from now on.
And what about distillers' grains? How's the market for that growing?
Well, this year was a year that saw some real challenges with respect to distillers' feed. China had suggested that we were dumping product in their country. They have since come around and I think recognized that, no, their poultry industry needs our high-protein feed product as much as U.S. producers do, and have begun the process of reevaluating its trade action. And I think you're going to see a great deal more DDG being exported. Already we export at least 10, almost 15% of our distiller's feed production because it is a high-value, high-protein feed product that poultry and dairy and beef markets need, not just in this country, but around the world. The growing value of distiller's feed really has helped the profitability of our industry, and that's going to continue as well into 2012 and beyond.
What did production look like this year as far as ethanol is concerned? I know we don't have the final numbers in yet, but it seems like we've been producing more than we did last year.
Well, we'll absolutely beat our annual production record again. We will be over 13 billion gallons. How much over 13 billion? I'm not entirely sure. It might be 13.5 billion gallons or more. And it is a reflection of just how much growing demand there is for our product. It is a good thing that we've got those export markets. Were it not for the fact that we're going to export some 800 million to a billion gallons of ethanol this year, it's quite likely the plants would have shut down, because we have reached the limit, really, of what we can market here in the United States. That's unfortunate, but that is the reality. Until the E15 market is commercialized and is growing demand for our product, we're going to be looking at those export markets to satisfy the production that our companies are providing. When I go out to visit plants, as I try to do quite frequently, and I see the new technologies that they are adopting, I see the way that they are squeezing profitability out of their asset. I see the way that they look with enthusiasm for the next technological breakthrough, the next market opportunity. I see the way that they are embracing the notion that ethanol production facilities really need to become true biorefineries, producing everything that a petroleum refinery produces, whether it's plastics or chemicals or fuels. And that's where the industry is headed.
What are some of the other highlights that you see from 2011, specifically possibly in the areas of advanced ethanol, cellulosic ethanol production, if that is moved forward at all, and getting more infrastructure out there, like blender pumps?
2011 was an important year for the realization that this industry has grown up and we continue to evolve. I was proud that in this year we were able to form the Advanced Ethanol Council, 10 cellulosic ethanol producers coming together to join with the existing industry in our common interest to grow this market and assure continued evolution down the road. And it was a really good sign that the existing industry and the RFA were able to come together with the Advanced Ethanol Council, because it shows that we recognize that our interests are going to be aligned in the future. In terms of other developments throughout the year, clearly we continue to move forward with our Blend Your Own program that we do with the American Coalition for Ethanol, and getting more and more blender pumps out there, and the education effort that we have out there to inform consumers that they've got a flex-fueled vehicle, or they could utilize a higher-level blend in their vehicles, is very important to the continued expansion of our industry. We've worked with the Department of Agriculture to get more blender pumps out there with their grant program. We've worked with marketers to educate them over the economics and the opportunities associated with blender pumps and giving consumers flexibility. We've worked with a growing coalition, largely of energy security folks, to promote expanded flex fuel vehicle production with the open fuel standard. We lobbied this year to try to get legislation introduced and to increase the education around an open fuel standard. And I think in 2012, we stand a fairly decent chance of seeing that legislation move forward. The way to truly empower consumers to utilize more domestic renewable fuels is to give them options. Right now, we've got a mandate for petroleum. They pull into a gas station and they're driving a vehicle that can only use gasoline or blends of renewable fuels up to 10 or 15%. They pull into a pump that can only deliver petroleum products. With more flex-fueled vehicles, consumers would truly be empowered to utilize greater renewable fuels. With more blender pumps, they would have access to those fuels. That's really the challenge for the industry moving forward, is how do we empower consumers to make the choices that are right for them and their vehicles?
Well, we've talked about some of the highlights of 2011. What are some of the things that have kind of given you a headache this year?
Certainly, there's always challenges. The fact that the European Union decided they were going to file a trade case against the United States is certainly a challenge that we will address head-on in the appropriate venue and do so aggressively. The continued misinformation campaign that is being promoted by the angry birds and the mad cows is certainly keeping us all busy as well. I think most people recognize that it's not ethanol that is driving up the price of food. It is the skyrocketing price of energy. It is speculators in the marketplace. and it is most certainly not the less than 3% of the world's grain supply that the U.S. ethanol industry utilizes to produce 14 billion gallons of high-performance motor fuel. Nonetheless, this misinformation campaign and food versus fuel campaign that is a real distraction and will continue to be a challenge for us, you know, in the months ahead.
And that's our ethanol report with a look back on 2011. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.